There are ships on the rocks, saints. There are ships on the rocks. Our faith can be shipwrecked, and some of us are blindly making our best efforts at shipwrecking said faith. Where is the soundness of mind? 2 Timothy 1:7. That soundness of mind in some of us who still act as though they can see into their own earthly future. Relying on dreams and visions and projections of our own. Well, I've got this right with God. Do you? Are you sure? It's not your belly? Some of us are falling apart at the seams over the bills and our own health and our home life. And where's the humility before God who seeks true worshipers in these days? You worshiping your problems, saints? Some of us are still worshiping the beast and some royal priesthood we've become. Well, I got a word for you. Ichabod. We're pushing the limits of our childishness and acting like lost pedestrians in the big city, completely opposed to the sober reality of just who and what we are and why we are in the first place. I'll tell you, if these pretentious antics were still not in evidence in some of us, I wouldn't be so grieved as to lose sleep at night over you. Meekness and confident silence before God's profound mercy is nowhere to be found in some of us in the body. And I'm speaking to the body. True peace is not residing in us. It's not a fruit. Is God abiding in you? Is this living as your soul could be required of you at any time? We boast of lies we tell ourselves. That's all. Think about this. Are our fears a fruit of being sober? 1 Thessalonians 5:8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. Saints, some of you have parked your shields beside a tree, and your swords rust in the rain of your own fearful tears. And just what hope do you wear as a helmet? Some of us have hope in death. Death is no relief from the toils of life unless these toils, being of a godly calling and production, have borne patience and trust in your God. Death is the end of the bodily tent and the beginning of eternity. Well, which part of eternity awaits you? Will your toils have wrought you a well-done, good and faithful servant? Or an I never knew you? But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided, those things you've worked your butts off for? Luke 12:20. Every second that ticks by has been given by God because of his mercy and forethought. Every second that approaches can be your last. Why are we living like boastful children with our earthly futures in mind, our cares being tenderly nurtured that they fester in our hearts, and festering sores we have become? Some of us live like frightened rats. Some of us fear what is coming upon the earth. Deep down, where we foolishly hide our fears from God, if that's possible, some of us fear this beast system, the possibility of harm befalling us, the camps, monetary loss, sickness, even death itself. And we whine and complain about every ache and pain and yet spend no time crucifying our fears along with our out-of-control passions to preserve our stinking morbid flesh or our ways of life. God could care less about your way of life. He cares about the way you walk with the way. And what would you do? What would you do if you were visited by the terrifying living God as I was so long ago when I messed up. And God asked you this question: are you ready if your soul is required of you? Well, believe you me, saints, you'd never be the same. Never. We need a little fear from God over and above the fear of God that we should have. Where in the name of Jesus Christ is your faith? We become liars, thinking to cover our dark fears and our wants with the usual outward empty powerless platitudes we dredge up from God's holy word to deflect our being discovered. Ooh, that's a hider. A saint is no hider. God's holy word tells us that we have the power to discern. And one who can discern by the Holy Spirit is no one to lie to, saints. No one to lie to. You lie to God first. You lie to yourselves. By your fears, you become unbelievers in God's provision. And may God have mercy on you. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. 1 Corinthians 11:30. And which cause is this? It's your intents, your desires. This is why we are told to examine ourselves. We don't go to the table of the Lord in form for juice and crackers. We go to the table of the Lord to eat of the bread of life. We do that constantly. Do we go to take our bread, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel, the truth? Do we take it for our own wants and desires? To feed our own needs? Do we have some other intent other than a godly one? For this cause, many are weak and sickly among us, and many are dead. Intent, why do you eat the bread of life? Ask yourself that question. Are we seeking something for ourselves? You know, we'd best follow this thread in the communion passages. It's as large as a rope, and it has very deep implications. Are we worthy? Then why do we suffer so, saints? You know, you deserve rebuke, and I give it soundly. It's foolishness that you're playing with. You shame the name of the Christ you claim to follow. You do not sup worthily at his table, nor do you carry your own cross. You are become an affront to the God who gave you the heavenly gifts. Peace doesn't reside in you, and God wants you to know it. And I'm telling you, you are not at peace. You are not right with your God. You don't like it. Leave. And because of your weakness and your foolishness and your pride and your stubbornness before God, you waste away in your bodies and minds and spirits. And some of you say you're fighting a good fight. Nay, I say you fight against the will of God for your lives. And the saddest thing about it is that you know it. A dish rag isn't going to stand in the day of testing. A stone wall of real faith laid upon the rock foundation of Jesus Christ will stand. And if your measure of faith is too small, don't blame God. God gave us each a certain measure of faith that we may use it to its fullest. How many of us let it drain away into the sand, which too many of us have built our spiritual houses upon? Apply thine heart to instruction, saints, and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Proverbs 23:12. The seas rage and you rage with it. The famine rages and you starve. The abomination stands in your holy temple. Your holy temple. 1 Corinthians 3:16. and you ask this abomination to sit down and dwell with you. Fear is an abomination when it is not godly fear, and you defile your temple. And if any man or woman defile the temple of God, God shall destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are, 1 Corinthians 3:17. Think about that, saints, but don't think about it too long. We got to get it in gear here. How can God heal any of us of our spiritual sickness and thus our bodily sickness when we choose to defy God and sit around worrying all day? Oh, it's in the Lord's hands. Is it? And all this because of your willful pride and fear. And yes, I said willful. You're not kidding me. Are you ready if your soul is required of you? I don't think so. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. 1 Corinthians 3:18. Don't deceive yourself. Humble yourself is what this is saying. Humble yourself and let God's wisdom replace your own. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. 1 Thessalonians 5:7. Are you asleep, little sheep? Spiritually asleep? You've thrown vigilance aside to please your flesh. That's obvious. Do you now consider the fruits you once produced as enough? Is the vine dresser on a break or what? Or is the grafted branch out to lunch? Excuse me? What's the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5, 22-23. It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Do you exhibit temperance when you're worrying? Are these the fruits you exhibit? These fruits of the Spirit? No. They seem to be fear and doubt and anxiety and frustration and the sorrow of the world. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Galatians 5:24. Examine yourselves. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. Proverbs 5:23. I see a lot of saints out there stuck in the bushes. The wolves are circling. And while you squirm and strive to make some sense out of what has befallen you because of your unbelief, you wander further from the God who called you. And for some of you, the rocks are rubbing at the bottoms of your ships. Will you shipwreck your faith? Will you shipwreck it for the sake of your stupid petty fears and your lusts and your godless dreams and your visions and your way of life? Is anything too hard for God? He doesn't get you out of a situation until you're ready to receive the freedom he has for you. You got work to do. Yeah, what kind of work is that? On the situation? No, I'm keeping your focus on your God. That's why nothing happens for you. You don't want to consider that. That's too easy. No, my problems are real. I've got a war and a fight on my hands. You got a fight on your hands when you go up against a jealous God who you have been depriving of fellowship, who you don't trust. That should make you ashamed. Have you really surrendered to his will? I doubt it. I'm not judging you, but I doubt it. Will you forsake supplication before God in your time of trouble in return for your own control over your affairs? You can't see the forest for the trees anymore. And let me tell you something, saints, the forest is on fire. Shall you forsake instruction in righteousness? Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Proverbs 8:33. Fall before your God and beg his mercy and forgiveness for straying from him. That's the source of your trouble. This is why you suffer. Fall upon the rock and be broken fully, or the rock will fall upon you and you will be ground to powder. Matthew 21:44. You know what that means. You have put away your cross. You have taken up with your own devices in your rebellion to the sovereign will of God. And you shall pay for this folly if you continue. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his or her folly. Proverbs 13:16. As if you're not obvious. Some of us have been deceived beyond our wildest notions. Some of us seek the beginning of the great tribulation as some kind of a relief from our daily troubles and our struggles and our bills. You gotta be kidding me. This notion runs rampant in many today. A time of the greatest stress and terror since the foundation of the world, and we seek it as a release from our problems today? Man, I thought I heard it all. If we can't handle our worldly and daily affairs during this, the beginning of our birth pangs, how in the name of God will you stand the chaos and the terror and the calamity of what's to come? Are we not being proved now, today? Are we not now being built up that we may stand in the day of testing? We're not doing too hot. If we're looking forward to a future event, you know, the worst possible future event, according to Jesus Christ himself, well, we've become foolish and sinful before God. We have been deceived. What's going to wake you up? Father God is speaking to us all, saints. We've got to pay attention to him. We've got to desire a closer walk with him. We have to desire his truth. We have to desire his fellowship. He's not going to give us squat unless and until he is our God fully. Royal priesthood. Royal priesthood. I pray that my prayers are answered for some of you straying sheep. May God forgive us our mistrust and our attention to ourselves. May this be so before our souls are required of us. If we're not ordained to live to see his coming, my God, when will we wake up? Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Proverbs 27:1. Doesn't Jesus say something like that too in the New Testament? For the stubborn children among us, you who seek solace in tribulation, you can all continue to play your tribulational remnant games and fantasize all you please. The bride of Christ has always been such described as a remnant without the fanfare we give it today. Oh, but it's a good hook, huh? It's a catchy title, great way to make money and friends and build a following. Yeah, I see. The only one you're supposed to be following is Jesus Christ. About the only ones that are supposed to be following after you are those that are coming against you. You're at war here, saints. Only those who pray fervently and with a right heart to be spared what is to come will be passed over. Luke 21:36. The trouble is, are the hearts right? It is also the watching therefore that some of us are missing in Luke 21:36. Watching therefore. We're supposed to watch with a closed mouth, a calm spirit, trusting in God. We wait upon the Lord. And I'm finished exhorting you all to sobriety and gravity and humility as regarding your true callings. I'm finished. I preach God first, and you seem to receive God wherever you decide to fit him in. Well, go for it. You could play your petty semantic games and stretch the truth all you want. You could leave out what you want. Search the scriptures diligently to support your prideful boasts. You are not sober. But if you end up dead and standing before Jesus Christ before you complete your remnant fantasies, don't say that God or this servant didn't warn you. You didn't have your focus in the right place. And may you be chastised for it severely now before you go ahead and make any more mistakes. In the name of the Lord, I pray this. I've had it up to my ears. The dust is shaken off. You don't want to listen? You don't have to listen. So be it. Have a good time, children. Thine own mouth condemneth thee, and not I. Yes, your own lips testify against you. Job 15:6. Let me read it again. Thine own mouth condemneth thee, and not I. Yea, thine own lips testify against thee. Your actions speak louder than words, and they're on your sleeve. And you can't tell your garment from the dung you've been walking it through. You can't hide from God, nor can you hide from yourselves. When the call comes for your soul, you'd better be ready, and you'd better not be found wanting, period. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. John 12:48. Will our last day on this earth be one yet filled with lust and pride and fear and lies? Will our last day on this earth find us with no time to repent of taking the lead from God, the God we say we serve? Will our last day find us yet using the Almighty God for our own pleasure, eating the bread unworthily? Will our last day come upon us like a thief? Is it today? Is it this morning? Is it this afternoon? Is it tonight? I spake unto thee in thy prosperity, but thou saidst, I will not hear. This has been thy manner from thy youth, that thou obeyest not my voice. Jeremiah 22:21. Are you obeying the voice of God? So what happens when the little prosperity you enjoy now vanishes away, comes up for collection, gets bowled over by a tropical storm, ends up in the next county when a tornado comes through, gets stolen, whatever? Will you find the time for your God then? Our weak minds and our stiff necks condemn us, folks. Saints, our weak minds and stiff necks. Will Jesus find faith upon the earth? Luke 18:8. If we're given to remain here and live through Jacob's trouble to the return of our King? I don't know. I hope so. To you saints who have ears and are careful how you hear, remember that fear will not avail us in the day of testing. And we are already standing firm. Pray for those who are not, as you're given. We must hold, and I say hold, each other up in prayer with supplication. You gotta mean it. It's gotta be coming out of your heart in truth. Ephesians 6:18. We stand alone and in complete surrender and in God's complete care. We're bolstered by the prayers of the saints, as we should be standing firm even today in this, firm in our Lord, firm in the uplifting of our family, not acting like a bunch of lousy comforters, all going for it on our own. There's no chaos in the body. Just think how much your Father cares for you and misses your fellowship and pines over the fact that you'd rather go in some other direction. We don't have much time to get it straight. And I suggest we get started by getting on our faces and get that conviction of the Holy Spirit that we've wronged our Father and come back. We're going to suffer the same fate as the ungodly if God is not our first priority. We will have become sinners, and we will have shipwrecked our faith, plain and simple. We don't need to sin the sins of pornography, you know, and murder and theft. And some of us do, who call themselves believers. No, we don't have to do those things. We just have to deny our God. We just have to say, oh no, not right now, Father. I got bigger fish to fry. I got visions I got to work out in my mind. Oh, I got a tribulation to get ready for. Don't be fools. We will have shipwrecked our faith. And faith on the rocks, it's a bitter drink. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Proverbs 3:5. I bid you, wayward, floundering saints, to wake up and repent of your foolishness before it's too late. Many are called, and few are chosen. Make your calling and election sure. Can his elect live in fear and turmoil within them? Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Is your mind stayed on the bills, or the job, or the new world order, the darkness around you, or the tribulation? Well, it's not where it's supposed to be. It's not where it's supposed to be. And I know that full well. Do you? Do you reject godly reproof? Or my sincere pleas that you repent and return to your first estate? It's your choice. But don't say I didn't warn you. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.